We read sort of the second part of the story that Daryl read for us earlier, picking up in the 21st chapter at the first verse. Listen again for God's word. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The word of the Lord. If you go back a few chapters in Genesis, there has been a lot of discussion about God's covenant with Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. Feel free to go back this afternoon when you're done with your Father's Day celebrations and read through these chapters. Their promises made by God. Serious stuff about being God's chosen people. If you want to read what we might call the official version about how God and Abraham committed to one another, go back to chapter 16 and 17 in Genesis. If you want the mysterious, hard to figure out, behind the scenes look at the making of covenant between God and Abraham and Sarah, look no further than the passages we read this morning. The story of mysterious strangers who show up in their midst. Abraham extending hospitality to these three, who he will discover soon are the Lord and two angelic persons traveling with him. The promise of a pregnancy for Sarah at her old age. And a laugh. Yes, there's a laugh. Imagine you are Sarah. You have long given up any thought of bearing a child. Your family has been uprooted as you and Abraham follow God to new places. You're probably trying to find some what we might refer to as a solid rock on which to stand as you contemplate your life of faith. And now God says you are going to have a child. You are an old woman who has given up hope of ever bearing a child. And now God promises you one. You cannot help yourself. You laugh. I had a friend who told me that he generally did not trust people who laughed a lot, particularly if they were big, loud laughs. Since I had just laughed, I decided I needed to follow up on that thought. You don't trust people who laugh? Nope. Why not? I think they're hiding something. They laugh to draw attention away from what they're really thinking. He might have been right about Sarah. I think of her laughter as that nervous laughter, not a belly laugh, but that little titter. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Oh, my gosh, did that really come out of me? Nervous laughter as a spontaneous response to what God has told her. How can she respond to God's announcement that she will bear a child? What is she to do with this God who keeps on bringing up new possibilities and new challenges? Laughter just slips out as she ponders what it means to be connected with a God who makes this kind of outrageous promise. She'll deny it soon. I didn't laugh. But God knows. we know. She laughs because she's nervous. I imagine she would have laughed even more if she knew what we already know. God will be true to that hope and that promise. That is the reality with which Sarah has to come to grips. That is the reality with which we must grapple as followers of Christ. God makes outrageous claims and promises, and then God is true to them. In the first scripture lesson we read today, the question is asked, is anything too powerful for the Lord? That's not Abraham's question. That's not Sarah's question. That's God's question. God asking Abraham and Sarah, God asking us, do you think there is anything I cannot do? How we live out our lives of faith reveals our answer to God's question. And as we think about that, a little nervous laughter might leak out. What I love about Sarah laughing is it's so real, it's so organic. It shows the human side of things. We want God often as that distant God, or maybe we don't want God, we see God as that distant God far away, and here God is in their midst as the strangers at their tent. Sarah laughing. This is real stuff. A reminder that God is discovered in real and intimate ways, that God desires a real and intimate relationship with each of us. Sarah laughs, and we're also reminded of the human side of faithfulness. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann notes that the powerful promise of God outdistances the ability of Sarah and Abraham to receive it. That's the life of faithfulness, trying to live in that gap between God's promises and the hope we have and our inability at times to grow into that. It's interesting that these two stories about the birth of Isaac are sandwiched around the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah's story is surely worthy of its own sermon, so I won't go too much into detail about it, but I will note that these stories together reveal the beginnings and the endings that God brings to us. Abraham and Sarah discover a new opportunity, a new level of responsibility as they live out God's covenant. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah reveal the failure of people to live into that responsibility. Abraham and Sarah are overwhelmed at the arrival of the Lord and the angelic presence of the three strangers and extend gracious hospitality. The people of Sodom refuse to extend hospitality to strangers in their midst. Abraham and Sarah move forward in the promise God sets before them. Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. And in that mystery of beginnings and endings, we are called to follow. There's no set of rules or facts we can learn or accept that make complete sense out of the God we meet in these stories, but the stories hold forth the invitation to be engaged by the God we cannot fully understand, to live into the mystery of the eternal. You are invited, as Abraham and Sarah, to live into this mystery, in relationship with God, the one whom we cannot fully understand, but the God who chooses to be present among us. Maybe we ought to take time out to laugh a little. Perhaps God laughs a little too. Maybe God laughs at us. You probably know the old Yiddish saying that goes something like, we make plans, God laughs. Not nervous laughter on God's behalf, I'm guessing, but maybe a chuckle. chuckle at our attempts to control our lives, chuckling at our belief that we can make our own way, chuckling at our reliance on scientific discovery, as if one day we will have all knowledge and that will solve everything, chuckling at how easily we trust in our own abilities. Maybe God laughs with joy when we get it right. That's what Meister Eckhart, a 3rd, 4th century German mystic, wrote about. He wrote about how every time one of us does a good deed, every time one of God's faithful extends goodwill or shows good desire, all the saints in heaven and on earth rejoice, and God plays and laughs with joy at what we have done. When we step out in faithfulness like Abraham and Sarah, when we trust in the hope and the promise God offers us, we have this image of God in heaven laughing with joy. I think God also laughs for us. God laughs for us in the face of the world and all its challenges. God laughs for us because God knows that God has the final answer. God laughs for us because the God of resurrection cannot be thwarted. God laughs because God knows in ways we cannot that the hope and promise given to Abraham and Sarah, the hope and promise given to us, is true this day and every day.